race is a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Well, folks, two things are pretty clear right now. All hell is about to break loose in the Middle East, and America is all alone in the world. Of course, if you're going to be all alone in the world, it helps to have the most formidable military on Earth, but still, it is a lonely feeling. Let's start with all hell is about to break loose. Most of the back and forth, blah, 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 you heard over the weekend, sanctions, no sanctions, straight open, straight closed, yeah, that was just to count down the time, because a massive military surge is occurring into the Middle East. It started around the 13th, 14th of April. While President Trump was going back and forth with Iran, thousands of additional U.S. forces headed to the region, more transport planes, cargo planes arriving in the Middle East each day. So, folks, this is just Trump arming up for the fireworks finale. Ditto for Air Force assets also surging to the Middle East, the big surge starting around the 14th of April. While Iran keeps publicly bluffing about negotiations, yeah, Trump's kind of doing the same thing. And the military buildup here is staggering. And you kind of got a hint of it, too, with Hegseth saying last week, you haven't seen 90% of what we can do. You've only seen 10% of it. Well, the other 90% has been arriving in the Middle East since the 14th. We're preparing for a shockingly large operation. Again, in a minute, I'll lay out what that's going to be. But first, watch the Euroweenies. X absolutely exploded with laughter at them this weekend as France and the UK led this multinational meeting of 40 countries and then announced that they're going to patrol the strait. They will be taking over patrol of the strait. Here's the very Nazi name sounding Keir Starmer.
Along with France, the UK will lead a multinational mission to protect freedom of navigation as soon as conditions allow.
The internet exploded in laughter. Okay, you're going to protect the strait after Trump finishes securing it while you condemn him for securing it and let American troops bleed and die doing it. So your Euroweenie ass doesn't have to. Do I have that straight? But actually, folks, a lot more is going on here than meets the eye. They're not looking to patrol the strait at all. They're looking to save Iran and its nuclear program, like every other group of leftists on Earth. Here's how you could tell. And while they were laughing about the idea of the Euroweenies actually patrolling the strait, our side completely missed what was put on the table here. First, and most obnoxiously, the Euroweenies announced they would be patrolling the state in this multinational coalition of 40 countries, excluding what they call the combatants. That would be America and Israel. In other words, deliberately excluding us. Now, who would they be consulting on the patrol of the Strait of Hormuz with? That's a key detail, isn't it? They'll be consulting with Iran. So the U.S. would be cut out, Israel would be cut out, and they would be doing this in partnership with Iran. Now, at the moment, they're saying Iran wouldn't actually be patrolling, but would be calling the shots with them, in partnership with them. Now, listen to this key part. It's a gut punch. You'll see how truly alone in the world we are. Here's Keir Starmer announcing the new outline for how things will work in the Strait of Hormuz.
The strait should be reopened immediately with no tolls and no restrictions.
See, there you go. Now you've got the real purpose of this meeting. The strait reopens under Euroweenie control, which they're claiming they now have, with no tolls. So that's saying Iran and China can't collect tolls and no restrictions. What is that saying? The strait will reopen with no American naval blockade of the Iranian ports or Iranian ships coming and going. Well, wait, weren't they being kind of fair? I mean, they said Iran couldn't charge tolls either. Folks, Iran already can't charge tolls. And if they are charging tolls in any way, they won't be too soon because of all those military assets moving in here. Why was Keir Starmer doing this? They're trying to protect Iran. That way, they can surge a couple of Euroweenie ships out to the Strait of Hormuz and claim the Americans have to leave. They're taking over now. Then they loop Iran in, and Iran is up and running. Now, this is not obviously going to happen, okay? Trump's not going to allow this. What they're looking to do is say, look, we've got the moral authority of a multinational coalition. Trump won't let us protect the strait. He's a madman. This is what they're setting up to protect Iran. Look, folks, France and the UK have no illusions that they could actually secure and patrol that strait. I mean, hilariously, in March, Keir Starmer promised a minesweeper. You'll notice it hasn't arrived yet from the UK. Yeah, it barely made it past the dock when it broke down, had to be towed to Greece, and it sat there for almost a month under repairs. These guys know damn well they can't secure the strait. They don't want to. They want Iran to take it back. Just like Barack Obama so desperately, and Biden too, wanted Iran to have the nukes, he was shipping them pallets of cash in the middle of the night. Why now? Why as soon as Trump announced, and of course the strait ended up closed again, but why as soon as Trump announced the strait was opening would they say this? Because look, they've got satellites too. The UK's got an excellent intelligence service. They know exactly what Trump's getting ready to do, just like I do watching the military traffic that's been headed for about a week, the backup that's been headed for about a week to the Middle East. And what they want to do is surge Euroweenie ships to the Gulf and say, wait, no, no, you can't have a major battle. No, our ship could be hit. Oh, no, it's Trump's fault. And should the fighting start before they get there or they don't ever get there, this multinational coalition gives them a position of authority to say, hey, Trump's acting outside the international norms. He's not playing ball with the other children on the playground. All of it is to protect Iran. Folks, this is what woke looks like as a foreign policy. Let me just give you an example, okay? Last 3 weeks, France in particular has been standing up for the terror group Hezbollah, a registered terror group, by the way, in France and in the United States of America, begging Israel not to kill them in Lebanon, even though Lebanon's leaders are so grateful Israel killed them that they actually met with Israel and Marco Rubio. But France was pro-Hezbollah, desperately trying to keep them from dying. How does Hezbollah pay Macron back for that? Now killing French soldiers, killed one last week, injured three in Lebanon. Does Macron give even one iota of a damn? No, or he wouldn't have been sitting there this weekend. Think about this. After Hezbollah, which is just Iran's army on the ground in Lebanon, after Hezbollah kills French soldiers, that's all you get for weeks of stumping for Hezbollah is dead French soldiers. And Macron so doesn't care that he and Starmer insist on letting Iran consult in their multinational patrol of the Hormuz Strait. I mean, folks, this is exactly what Biden did. Remember when those 42 Americans were either killed or kidnapped on October 7th? What did he do? Cut him a check. Send Iran billions. What happened after Iran killed three of our soldiers on our base in Jordan? They got even more money transferred to them. The Euroweenies know, as do the Democrats, all hell is about to rain down on Iran. And this coalition is their perch, their credibility perch to say, see, we are doing some stuff. We ought to have a say here. But it's all only going to go one way, as it did with France advocating for Hezbollah, who's mass murdered tens of thousands of Christians in Lebanon. They don't care about them. Now, notice the mainstream media, the liberal media, is hysterical the last couple of days, practically begging us not to go in and obtain the nuclear material, even though they know how very deadly it is. Here's Dr. Matthew Bunn on 60 Minutes. He's with Harvard this weekend.
970 pounds of 60% highly enriched uranium. What can you do with that?
So that is enough material for, if you enrich it just a little bit more, for 10 to 11 nuclear bombs.
Now, Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of War, warned the Iranians this weekend, look, we're watching them on satellite. They're already beginning to go in, remove the rubble and dig this stuff out, trying to get to it before we can. The mainstream media is in a fever pitch that we should leave it alone, too dangerous. When, you know, some of our troops might die. Keep in mind, these people don't give a damn when Iran kills our troops. That's as I've showed you with the, you know, with the Jordanian troops, with the Americans massacred on October 7th. They don't give a damn. They don't want us getting our hands on that nuclear material. I've got a theory as to why. Do you know nuclear material essentially has like a DNA print It's known as the isotope. They can trace where it came through. What do you want to bet that the material they have, they find, will be traceable to the United States? I mean, folks, it makes sense. If Obama was shipping them pallets of cash in foreign denominations in the middle of the night, so determined to build their nuclear program, of course he'd find a way to get them nuclear materials. Now that Trump is clearly planning to extract them, the mainstream media is screaming bloody murder. Don't do it. Too many casualties. While at the same time admitting, hey, it might be worth the casualties to get it. Here's retired Vice Admiral Robert Hayward on 60 Minutes.
Would an operation like this be worth risking American lives?
In my opinion, yes.
Retired Vice Admiral Robert Harward is a former Navy SEAL and Deputy Director of U.S. Central Command. He led elite special operations in the Middle East and says an operation in Iran could take many weeks and require a large footprint involving all the branches of the military.
It's high risk. You have to occupy territory. You have to confront. Force your way in. So all those risks are inherent in that operation, but we can do it.
What are they doing here? Because the media was talking off Democrat talking points. This was the big thing this weekend. It's too risky. It's too hard. Trump's got to know people will die. How could he send people to their deaths? What a terrible guy. We shouldn't do this. Here's the same guy, retired Vice Admiral Robert Hayward on 60 Minutes.
It's been said troops would have to secure a full perimeter around any facility they'd enter. They might have to bring in their own bulldozers to clear rubble, maybe even build their own landing strip in order to pull this off as a successful operation. Yeah.
That's what our military does. When we went into Afghanistan, we built a runway in the desert and we brought in C-17s.
What does concern Vice Admiral Harward is the weapons still available to Iran on today's battlefield.
The most prevalent threat is their abilities then to respond with drones, kinetic drones, maybe whatever's left in their inventory of missiles. That's your real threat to your time on the ground and the force.
Would you expect casualties in an operation like this?
Sure. You have to plan for that.
The fragile ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran is set to expire on Wednesday.
Why are the Euroweenies and the Democrat Party so clearly and obviously allied with Iran? I've explained it to you many times. It's simple. Money. Iran pumped a ton of money into the Democrat street protest. But who else did? Hundreds of millions of dollars. We just learned this in recent weeks. China. They paid for everything from the LA street protests to the Minnesota street protests. Remember how big those got? The estimates, because you could tell by how many people were logged onto that software they had coordinating the violent protests quadrant by quadrant. It ended up working out to about 11,000 activists when ICE was on the ground in Minnesota. That's a small army. That doesn't come cheap. And China, George Soros, and Iran pay for stuff like that. What's more, I'd be shocked if European leaders like Keir Starmer and Macron don't have the same deal with China, tens of millions of dollars funneled into their family somehow that Dianne Feinstein had, that Nancy Pelosi had, that Mitch McConnell has. Your family gets uber wealthy once you get into Congress and someone in your family cuts a deal with China. The Democrats, the world left, wants here what China wants. They want to build Iran into a nuclear-armed proxy so as to project their economic policy through violence and fear by controlling shipping lanes. That's why I've been obsessed for weeks with the idea that China would ever be allowed to demand buying and selling of oil in yuan first day of passage through the strait. But folks, this is the real battle here. Did you see this in a Wall Street Journal? The UAE came to America basically demanding printed cash. They were going to do currency swaps. Would it be like giving them cash because of the swap value? Demanding that, or they're going to start buying and selling oil in Chinese yuan. What is that? Well, clearly, remember I told you eight countries had met with China and Iran to discuss that deal, safe passage in exchange for buying and selling oil for yuan. That's where it'll start. Before you know it, I'm telling you, no ship on earth would be able to move through critical trade choke points unless everything that is in those ships, not just oil and natural gas, but all goods, are bought and sold for Chinese yuan. It would make China the world's superpower. By the way, it's going to be fascinating to see this week how the Trump administration responds to the UAE. They can't let one country do this. I mean, folks, that's truly our Achilles heel. There's nothing our military can't handle, but if a bunch of countries start dropping the dollar, we'll sink like a stone. I mean, folks, economic calamity. If we can't make those debt payments, I don't even want to paint the picture for you. We'll basically get a chance to see what our fellow Americans lived through in the Great Depression. But look at what we're doing right now. Because, folks, this is as much of a petrodollar war as it is a war for safety nuclear-wise. Both are equally important, not having a nuclear-armed Iran. But, folks, did you see this? On Saturday, the U.S. signed a defense agreement with Morocco concerning the Strait of Gibraltar, another key trade choke point that if we don't take it, China will. And then, of course, just a few days ago, we inked an agreement with Indonesia, granted expanding operational access over the Strait of Malacca. It was a self-defense pact. Well, there's only one country we will be defending them against, and that's China. By the way, 80% of China's oil goes through there. So what are we getting, folks? These are insurance policies to protect the world from Chinese thuggery on the high seas. That's why they're building the Navy they have, but also to protect the petrodollar from a violent assault on the seas. In other words, imposing economic policy through force. Folks, thank God Trump did this at the time he did this, because China was going to use Iran as a weapon. Once they had nuclear missiles, nobody was going to dare challenge China and Iran taking control of the Strait of Hormuz. Look, folks, again, I hate the petrodollar. I hate the debt we're in. I really like Rand Paul's plan for paying off the debt. And by the way, a report just came out this weekend, government report, about $500 billion, $500 billion a year is stolen from the federal government. A lot of our debt is just that. So it's incredible what is going on here. But the fact is, we're in debt now. We need that printing press to keep from defaulting. Finally, folks, did you see this weekend? Longtime China mouthpiece, Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate, former governor of Minnesota, where he was? In Spain. Who else was there? Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, trashing Donald Trump and his war on Iran. Why would they be in Spain? Well, if you listen to this podcast, you know why Spain is so critical right now. Number one, they sided with China and Iran and obviously wouldn't let us use their bases. But the other reason it's so important is because the liberal prime minister of Spain did an insane thing last week, traveled to China and gave a speech saying that China needs to play a bigger role in global security and defense, emphasizing a Europe-China cooperation and saying it's essential for stability, and then announcing that Spain would go first. Quote, and he actually said this in China. This is Spain's Pedro Sanchez. I firmly believe it is in the interest of both Spain and Europe to strengthen ties with China. They signed their own partnership deal with China. So what were Walz and Murphy doing? Well, most folks who do talk radio for the living are going to say today, well, they're out there giving comfort to the enemy during wartime. It's treasonous. Yeah, they're definitely doing that. They're not just picking Iran in this conflict. They're picking China. But this is Walz and Chris Murphy giving the stamp of approval to this new European Chinese access, this new Spanish Chinese access partnership, if you will. Remember all the money China's paid Walz over the years, all the trips to China. Remember when he was running the concern by the deep state that he was a Chinese asset, or at least his folder was loaded with compromising situations that had occurred between him and, remember, the daughter of a Chinese Communist Party official. Okay, so this is what they're doing. China has called them to Spain. This is all but a Democrat Party declaration of loyalty to China and the new Chinese-European partnership.
We've got a feeble-minded, trigger-happy president who plunged us into a war where no threat was present, with no clear objectives and no exit plan. We need to call that what it is. That's fascism. Or at least it's fascist curious, as they would be.
Want to bring you greetings as well from a nation that is in crisis. I'm not going to sugarcoat the gravity of what we face right now in the United States. This is the most significant threat to American democracy since the Civil War. Donald Trump in our country is trying to end our democracy. We are not on the verge of a totalitarian takeover. We are in the middle of it. He is trying to seize control of our courts, of our law enforcement, of our media, of our elections. His goal is oligarchic capture.
Do you see what I mean? We're truly alone in the world. And not being alone would be even worse. In other words, Democrats win again here, and we're part of this partnership that embraces evil and helps it grow. Finally, I want to leave you with this. Did Democrats actually know that what Trump is doing with Iran is the right thing? That it should be done? You bet they do. This is from Face the Nation this weekend with Margaret Brennan. You're listening to former Biden senior advisor Amos Hochstein admit that the Biden administration was watching this exact same situation and even had plans to respond as Trump did, they claim. Whatever the case, they're admitting Trump's got this right.
In July 2024, Secretary Blinken claimed Iran was 1 or 2 weeks away from having enough fissile material breakout capacity to eventually make a weapon if Iran had decided to do so. There were indirect negotiations that the Biden administration did, but it went nowhere. So when President Trump argues that he did when no other president would, is it just simply that the bill was coming due and it fell on his watch?
I do think there's a certain element to that. And that's why I was supportive of President Trump joining in June to take the strikes that we had thought internally in the Biden administration we may have to take if there was a second term. We thought that the spring summer of 2025 was probably we may have to be there in the same place. And we did. We did war games. We did some practice runs on what it would look like to look into it. And because that may have had to happen under our watch as well.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.